I'd like to turn. I want to read a scripture found in Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 10. We just want to take the first part of that Zechariah 4 and 10. Zechariah says, "For who hath despised the day of small things?" Who hath despised the day of small things? I want to try to bring forth that this morning, if it be the Lord's will, on the small things of God. When Zechariah was writing this, he was writing this concerning the rebuilding of the temple at Jerusalem, when some would be turned loose, and some of the Jews would be turned loose and to go back and to begin to rebuild the walls, to begin to rebuild the temple. There is so much that is mentioned about that in Haggai, in the second chapter, just the book before that. Haggai and Zechariah were both at the same time during this rebuilding. And Haggai says in chapter 2 and verse 3, "Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do ye see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing?" They were having people coming up against them, Sanballat and Tobias, and even some of the Jews who were trying to just say, it's useless, it's not going to work to go back and restore this temple. And so that is where Zechariah comes up and says, "Who hath despised the day of small things?" It seemed a very small thing to many people, Sanballat, as I said, Tobias, and some of the Jews. It seemed as a very small thing that God would send some people back among the Jews, back to Jerusalem, to build that place of worship up, to build a place where they could commune once again with God. You remember they had been carried away in Babylonian captivity and so didn't have a place of worship. In fact, we can read in many places where, like Daniel, who opened up and looked out the window and prayed three times a day. And because of that, because he wouldn't fall down to the golden images of Nebuchadnezzar, you remember he was thrown in the, Daniel was thrown in the lion's den. And so, of course, the Lord was with him in the lion's den and brought him out safely. So, who hath despised the day of small things? There are a lot of things in the Bible that talk about small things. In a negative sense, there are some small things that we have to be careful about. There are some small things that can really destroy the church. You remember in the 5th chapter of 1 Corinthians and also the 5th chapter of Galatians in the 9th verse, the Apostle Paul says, "A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." How much? Just a little. Doesn't take a lot. Doesn't take a lot of big sins. It doesn't take a lot of big things. He said, "A little leaven." If we've ever made bread, we know that to be so, right? You get a tablespoon of yeast and mix it with warm water, and you put it into this flour mix, and you fold it in. You hide it in, it's hid in that measure of bread, of that dough, and you let it, and it begins to do what? It begins to puff up. And that's where the church was at in the 5th chapter of 1 Corinthians. He said, "You're puffed up." They were puffed up because there was leaven in the church. We can have leaven, just a small amount of leaven in the church, and it can puff us up. It can really destroy the Lord's house. I've mentioned it before, and I'll mention it again. When the Lord leaves the church, it's not of the Lord's doing; it is of our doing. We've done it. The Lord doesn't just decide He's going to pack up and move from a people that are coming together to worship and to rejoice in Him, and those that are trying to live a life pleasing to God. I want to tell you, if we maintain that in the church will remain. God will not leave a church in that state. But if we begin to get puffed up in ourselves as that little leaven is, I want to tell you, we can destroy ourselves. We can destroy the church. And indeed, many, many, many examples can be shown, in the churches of Asia. And not only in the churches of Asia, but in our own land. We can see where many churches have closed the doors, have long since closed the doors. And I suggest to you this morning that the reason why they closed up the door was not of the Lord's doing, but was of the people's doing. There's also, he says, James says in the third chapter of James, talking in the negative sense, he talks about the tongue being a little member that boasteth great things. Behold, what great a matter a little fire kindleth, he says in about the fifth verse of that third chapter of James. That little tongue, that little member boasteth great things. You know, the little tongue, the little things that we say and the little things that we do with our mouth that we say can destroy our witness before other people. We can destroy our witness before God's people in the church, and we can destroy our witness before others. And I want to tell you, that is a hard thing to try to tame. He said it's like the rudder on a large ship or the bit in the horse's mouth. It can destroy our whole body, our whole witness and who we are. So we see there in a negative sense that there are some small things. In another place, the apostles were on a ship, and the Lord came to them at night at the last watch, and he was in the ship with them, and the ship was tossed to and fro, and in so much that they began to fear for their lives. Now, they had Christ with them. And you know, it doesn't really matter how bad the waves are. It doesn't really matter how ominous the trouble is that you're in. If you've got the Lord with you, you'll be all right, because the Lord will take care of us. The Lord was with them in the ship. And they went down and they woke him up and said, "Carest thou not that we perish? Carest thou not that we perish?" You know, the Lord had already told them, "Get into the ship. We're going to go to the other side. We're going to go to the other side." Now, if the Lord said, "We're going to go to the other side," what do you think? You think they're going to go to the other side? Yeah, they're going to go to the other side, because the Lord said, "We're going to go to the other side." But yet he comes out and he calms the waves and the winds, and he says, "O ye of little faith." There's something little there. "O ye of little faith." They didn't have enough faith during the troubles and the trials to trust in the Lord. And isn't that how it is in our life? It is easy to trust in God when everything is going well. When everything is going well, it's super easy for us to comfort somebody else and to just say, "You need to just trust in the Lord." Or to think within ourselves that we are living by faith. When faith is tested, it's not when things are going well, but faith is tested when things are not going well. And you can see our faith. Sometimes I'm amazed at how little my faith is when things begin to fall apart, or seemingly in my life begin to fall apart, and I begin to worry about everything. I begin to think that boat is fixing to fall apart and I'm just going to be drowned in the sea there. You see, I've got little faith. But the Lord said if you had as faith as little as a grain of a mustard seed, if you despise not the day of little things. He said if you had faith as much as a grain of a mustard seed, you could say unto this mountain, "Be thou removed," or unto this sycamore tree, "Be thou removed into the ocean," and it would be so. Now, I don't think God's saying that we can have power to actually uproot by our thoughts, by our faith, uproot a sycamore tree or any other tree for that matter and have it removed in the ocean. I don't believe that we can actually have the power to move mountains literally by faith. I believe what the Lord is talking about is he's talking about spiritually the troubles that we have can be as mountains before us. And if we have faith as a grain of a mustard seed and we trust in the Lord, that mountain, that obstacle will be removed from in front of us. And that is having faith in God. He didn't say it took a whole lot of faith. He said just faith as a grain of a mustard seed. But you know, when you plant that mustard seed in the ground and it obtains moisture. It begins to grow. And it says it's one of the largest trees, and the birds find refuge or find rest in those in the branches of that tree. And that ought to be how our faith is. That when we see our experience in this life and how God has brought us hitherto, that is the measure by which we strengthen our faith in God. That we can see where God has brought us hitherto. And so we find great comfort in that. It's having faith in God. Despise now not, who hath despised the day of small things? I can remember in the 6th chapter of John, when our Lord and Savior was out there and with the disciples, and there was a great crowd of people that came to the Lord. Now they came to the Lord because they knew that the Lord had power to heal. And they were coming to the Lord, and there was a great multitude. You remember He took His disciples out in the wilderness for a space, but yet this great crowd comes right on out there. The Bible tells us there's some 5,000 men. That doesn't say anything about women and children. Some 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children. So there's no telling how many people that were out there. And they begin to come out there, and the Lord didn't want them to leave for fear that they would faint in the way. For fear that they would faint in the way. And He turned to the, listen what He says when He turns to the disciples in the, and I wanted to get this, read this in the 6th chapter of John. In the 6th chapter of John, when Jesus then lifted up His eyes and saw a great company come unto Him, He said unto Philip, listen to what He said. Now this is the Lord speaking to Philip. He says, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now this is the Lord asking Philip, where are we going to get the bread to feed all these people? Now that would seem strange, wouldn't it, that Jesus would be asking the disciples that? Where are we going to get this bread? But He didn't listen to what the Scripture says. And this He said to prove Him, for He knew Himself what He would do. He just said this to prove Philip. In other words, this was a trial of Philip, that the Lord was saying, Philip, where are we going to get all the bread to feed all these people at? The Lord wasn't asking that question because He didn't know. He already knew. And they said 200 pennyworth. Is not enough to feed this great multitude. And not only that, there's a lad here, and all he's got is a few barley loaves and a few fishes. Five barley loaves and a few fishes. That's all he has. And what is that among so many? Despise thou not the day of small things. It didn't look like much. But I want to tell you, when the Lord got a hold of that and blessed that, it was enough to feed the whole multitude. It not just partially. They didn't just get. They had all that they wanted, all that their stomach could hold of bread and fish from just a few loaves and a few fishes. 5,000 plus people. Despise now not the day of small things, and they were all fed, and they had so much to eat that He told the disciples to take baskets. And to go out there, and these weren't little tiny baskets like this basket right here. We're talking about big baskets. He says, you take these baskets out, and you go and gather the fragments of the food that is left over. And they gathered 12 baskets full of food left over from a few loaves and a few fishes. Where are we going to get the bread to do it? You know, sometimes in our life, you know, and later on, you could see, and later on, He fed 4,000 the same way. With just a few loaves and a few fishes, He fed some 4,000 at that time. You know, sometimes we just have a little, but we don't think that's sufficient in our lives. Despise thou not the day of small things. We have to have faith in God, knowing that God can do all things. And whatever God has given us, it is ample enough that we're able to do just fine on the blessings and the natural things that God gives us in this life. Sometimes we say, "Well, I just don't have a good enough job. Oh, I'm just not making a big. I'm not making enough money. I want a bigger house. Who has despised the day of small things? You know, none of us would have a job, or none of us would have a house, or the ability to maintain those things if it weren't by the grace of God. If it wasn't by the grace of God, if it wasn't by the grace of God, I want to tell you, Satan would come into us like he did Job, and take us out. Or do something to us in this life, and we wouldn't be able to provide for our families. We wouldn't have anywhere to live. But I want to tell you, I believe that God has a hedge around every one of His people. I believe He's got a hedge around you this morning. And I think, and thanks be to God, I believe God's got a hedge around me. And I believe no matter what I have in this life, no matter how insignificant it may seem to me or seem to others, I want to tell you what, I'm grateful for that. And we're not to despise the day of small things. We're to be thankful for all the blessings that God has given us and know that whatever God gives us is just right. It's just enough. And God will take care of us. God will give us what we need. You open up the cupboards. I don't know how we're gonna make it through next week. The cupboards are bare and there's no food in the cupboards. Well, I want to tell you what, dear child of God. I can remember when Elijah was sent to a woman of Zarephath. There, you remember Elijah prayed that the Lord would shut up the heavens for the space of 3.5 years, and the Lord heard his prayer and shut up the heavens so that it did not rain for the space of 3.5 years. And the first thing he told Elijah to do is go over there to the brook Cherith. I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. You know, he had water from the brook, and the ravens would bring fruit, food to him. Isn't God good? God's got control over all creation. So he's sitting there and he's eating what the ravens bring to him. He's drinking from the brook Cherith, from the brook there. But guess what? That brook's gonna dry up because of your prayer, Elijah. That brook's not gonna be flowing forever. So it sure enough, it dried up, and there wasn't any place that he was able to drink. So the Lord sent him down to the widow woman of Zarephath, and he goes down there, and he sees this woman going out collecting sticks, this widow woman. And he goes, "Go in and make me a loaf of bread." He goes on to say, "I pray thee a morsel of bread in thy hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering 2 sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat and die." Now see, she was being affected by the drought. She's saying, "This is all I have left. There's nothing more." And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son also." He said, "Make one for me first." Now he explains why he's going to do it. He goes on to say, "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." So what does she do? She goes in there with that little bit of meal left. She goes in there with just that little bit of cruse oil. I want to tell you, you're talking about somebody here that wasn't even a Jew that had great faith. Now her cupboards were empty. She was going to eat this, her and her son, and they were going to die. This was the last of it. But you know, after she did that and she followed the commandments of Elijah, did you know that she was given enough every day to sustain her, her son, and Elijah? Every day she was given enough. Despise not the day of small things. God will take care of us no matter how small things may be. It was later on, you remember, when he went up on Mount Carmel. When Elijah goes up on Mount Carmel to meet Ahab and the children of Israel that had turned away from the Lord. And it was there that he told his servant, after he demonstrated the God of heaven and earth, the God that answers by fire, he told his servant, he said, "Go up there on top." He goes, "Go up there 7 times and look and tell me what you see." And Elijah's servant goes up there 7 times, up to the top, and looks up. You remember what he comes back saying on the 7th time? He says, I see a cloud. I see a little cloud. He says, a little cloud the size of a man's hand. Just a little old tiny puffy cloud up there, the size of a man's hand up there. He said, get thee down, for the sound of a rain, for the sound of the rain cometh. Now, that's Elijah saying that from a little tiny cloud. And I want to tell you what, the thunders came and the rain fell down on them and they were given rain. Not just from that little cloud, I believe that cloud grew. But I want to tell you, when Elijah saw that little cloud, he knew. He didn't despise the day of small things. That meant something to him. When he saw that little cloud, he knew the Lord was going to answer. And he knew there was a great abundance of the sound of rain that was coming from that little cloud. And so he went down. You know, we are not to despise the day of little things. As I said, when they had that morsel, the Lord had just a few fishes and a few loaves, and He was able to feed that great multitude. I want to tell you what, dear child of God, I don't know how many times that I've stood up in the pulpit, or before that I've stood up in the pulpit, and I've told my wife, and she can tell you this as well. I say, honey, it's going to be a short one today. I've said that so many times. It's going to be a short sermon today. I just don't have that much. You know, it's not about what I bring. I believe that a preacher ought to study to show himself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And I believe you have to study God's Word. How else can the Spirit of God remind you and bring these things to your mind if you haven't already studied them, if you don't know about them? But I want to tell you what, no matter what you bring, it can seem just like a little bit, but I want to tell you what, God can increase that. God can increase that. God can increase our joy. He can increase all things that we have in this life, both spiritually and naturally. But don't despise the day of small things, of what the Lord has done for us. I remember in the 15th chapter of Job, Eliphaz was talking to Job. And he asked him a very important question. He said, are the consolations of God small with thee? Are the consolations of God small with thee? He was asking Job that question. In other words, what he's saying is, what God has done for you, the comfort that you receive from the Lord, is that small to you? Now, I don't think that was a very appropriate question at that time to ask Job. The miserable comforters were asking him a lot of things that I don't know that was all appropriate, but I want to tell you, they were wise men. And we can gain instructions from what they were asking Job, even in ourselves, in our own life. Are the consolations of God small with you? Despise not now the day of small things. In our minds, in our hearts, we might see it as a small thing as we go out and as we work from day to day and go about our own business. We see it as a small thing. In fact, oftentimes it's so small in our lives, we hardly even have it in memory or in remembrance as we go through the days. Until we come together on Sunday and then we bring it to the foreground. But I want to tell you, don't despise the day of small things. I want to tell you, when Stephen in the 7th chapter of Acts, it was the consolations of God were not a small thing with him. That deacon right there gave his life for the cause of Christ. That Stephen there proclaimed Jesus Christ and him crucified. And they railed on him and they were cut to the heart and they began to stone Stephen because he was preaching the very same thing that me and you preach and believe today. Nothing different. You go read his sermon. You go read what he preached about or what he talked about. And I want to tell you, it's right in line with what the old Baptists have today. And that just shows me it was hated then. And I want to tell you what, dear child of God, the truth is hated today. There are a lot of people that hate the truth. There are a lot of God's people that hate the truth. But I want to tell you, it wasn't something that Stephen hated. It wasn't something that was small to him. It was something that was great. Paul and Silas, as we spoke, I believe it was last Sunday, when they were in the inner prison, the consolations of God weren't a small thing with them. They were a great thing. They helped them to endure all the tribulations and the trials that they were going through while they were in that prison. It wasn't a small, the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ wasn't a small consolation to the three Hebrew children. They were willing to give their life for the cause of Christ. Now listen here, they could have fell down at the golden images of Nebuchadnezzar and they would have still been children of God and heaven would have still been their home. But I want to tell you what, they loved the Lord so much, they loved His what He had done for them, that they desired nothing more but to serve Him and wouldn't serve or fall down to anybody else. Isn't that what Moses? Moses in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, when he refused, he says by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath. He says up further, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He rather chose affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses endured as seeing him who is invisible. I want to tell you what, that ought to be our lot today. And when we go read the whole 11th chapter of Hebrews, we can see many who the consolation of God was not small to them. The consolation of God was a great thing to them. And I hope and trust this morning that it is not a small thing to you. And that if it is a small thing to you in your mind and your heart, that you don't despise the small things. I want to tell you, we've got the blessed truth. And I want to tell you, we are to be like so many patriarchs of old in the Old Testament and the New Testament, that we stand for the truth, that we stand for what Jesus Christ has done. Yes, there's persecution. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Paul told Timothy that you will suffer persecution for it from this world, because I said this world does not like the doctrine that Jesus Christ did it all. They don't like the doctrine that it's all in the Lord's hand and Jesus Christ did it. No, preacher, you're wrong. Man's got to be in there somewhere. No, sorry, brother. God doesn't need you. He didn't need you for creation. He doesn't need you to be to create within somebody a new creature. And He's not going to need the preacher or anybody else at the resurrection day. He doesn't need man. All we're to do is rejoice in what has already taken place, knowing that the Lord is coming back one day. Despise thou not the day of small things. In the 18th chapter of Matthew, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? You see, when you read these things, you're like, okay, they were people too. Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? They argued with themselves who should be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus called a little child unto him. A little child. Despise thou not the day of small things. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. Now this tells me one thing right here. This tells me that when the Lord was teaching, when the Lord was preaching, there were also little children there as well. There were little children there. See, we don't believe in segregation. We don't believe in having a service over here for this age group and a service over here for this age group and one for the older men and women and things like that. No, they were all together. They were all together. He says, and Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now that kingdom of heaven is not talking about heaven itself. As we've already said, and as the Bible is clear, heaven is our home because of what the Lord has done. That kingdom of heaven is talking about here right now in the Lord's church and that abundant blessings of God. He said, unless you be converted and become as one of these little children, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. You see, don't despise the day of small things. What does he go on to say? Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Now that's pretty straightforward, isn't it? That you don't offend one of these little ones. You know, in 1 John, 9 times in the book of 1 John, John refers to his readers as my little children. My little children. If you read 1 John, it's hard to miss it because he says it 9 times. He says it so many times in that small book. My little children. He's not just talking to literally little children. He's talking to babes in Christ. I thank thee, Father, heaven, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed it unto babes, for such it seemed good in thy sight. Why is it that we have to be as little children and be converted and become as little children in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven, in order to enter into the blessings? Well, in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I think it's about verse 20. We won't turn there, but I think it's 1 Corinthians 14 and 20. He says, in understanding, be ye as men, but in malice, be ye as children. Now see, in understanding, we ought to be as men. We ought to be perfected. We ought to be grown in understanding. But he says, in malice, be ye as children. You see, the thing about a child is, you ever notice children playing? Young children, they'll be out, and the next thing you know, they're in a fight, and they're rolling around out there in the yard, and one of them's clocking the other one over the side of the head, and then the other one's crying, and it just looks like a mess. And then you turn your back and you straighten it out and you turn your back and go back 10 minutes later and they're out there having fun again and playing with each other and having a good time. You know, adults don't do that, do they? No. Adults do that. And I want to tell you what, you put up bars for life. You put up bars for life. He said, in malice, be ye as children. In malice. See, how is it that we were that way, but now we aren't that way when we're older? What's happened? I'll tell you what's happened. We've been living with sin in us our whole life. And sin in us has an effect in us. But the Lord says you can change that around. He says you can be as children in malice. In other words, he's saying forgive one another. Love one another. If somebody does something wrong, if somebody says something wrong, don't just put up the bars of fellowship for the rest of your life. And I'm not just not going to deal with that person. It's so easy for adults to do, but little children, I want to tell you what, they don't do that, do they? In another place, when we're talking about the kingdom of heaven, and fear not the, despise thou not the day of little things. In the 12th chapter of Luke, in the 32nd verse, he says, fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not, little flock. Do you know the Bible says that Jesus Christ died for many? Many. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Even so, by the obedience of one shall many, not a few. Now, there's a vast difference between the word many and few, so we're going to have to reconcile this. For by many shall be saved. He many shall be made righteous, he said. Many. Jesus Christ died for those from out of every nation, kindred, tongue, tribe, and people, the stars of heaven, and as the sand by the seashore. But here he says, fear not, little flock. Little flock. You know who that little flock is this morning. That little flock is the Lord's church. That little flock is the Lord's visible church. It's just a little flock. He said over in the 11th chapter of Romans, he said, even so at this present time there is a remnant according to the election of grace. A remnant. A remnant's just a little, isn't it? It's just a portion. It's just a small piece of the whole. He said, even so at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Now, when he says according to the election of grace, he says it is in agreement with the election of grace. That's what according is. In agreement with the election of grace. There is a remnant that professes the grace of God through election, that God elected a people. There is a remnant that believes that. And the remnant that believes that is not because they're so smart that they got it all figured out and nobody else does. The reason why they believe that is because God has revealed it unto babes. He's revealed it unto His church. Because God will have a church here somewhere on this planet. There will be a church. There will be an Old Baptist, whatever it's called, when the Lord comes back. There will be a people that will be preaching and rejoicing the very same things that we're singing, preaching, and rejoicing in today. There will be a remnant. God has preserved His Word, and it will hold fast until the Lord comes back again. But I want to tell you what, we ought not despise the day of small things. That we have a small congregation when we're all here. It's still, relatively speaking, we have a small congregation. We're a small band of people. When you look at all the places that the members come from, that they come not just Asheville, but from all four corners, we all come. If you look at the people that are represented in Asheville and all the other places, I want to tell you it's a very small number. In fact, it's so small, a lot of times, I'm afraid that us old Baptists are ashamed to tell people just how small we are. Don't despise the day of small things. When the Lord Himself was on the earth preaching in Jerusalem among hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people, there was only at that time 120 in the church. And that was with the Lord preaching. That was the Lord that was there at that time. It was after that, of course, you remember that the church was added, that there were some 3,000 souls added to the church there on the day of Pentecost through the preaching of the Apostle Peter. And even then, it was a small church. Now, I'm not trying to justify small numbers. I would like for this room to be standing room only with people that had the same love and desire as you have this morning. I would. I'd like, and you would too. I'd like for this place to be standing room only. But I want to tell you, we're not to despise the day of small things. We're to be thankful for what we have. Because the Lord says, where two or three are gathered together in My presence, there am I in the midst of them. Where just two or three, now, I'm not good at math, but there's more than two or three here this morning. And He said, where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them. It doesn't matter how small a church we have. What matters is, are we coming to worship the Lord, and is the Lord in the midst of us? We ought not despise the day of small things. The church will always be a small church. The church will always be a remnant. And if the church ever comes to a place where it is not a little flock, where it is not a remnant, I submit to you, it won't be the Lord's church. Because He says the Lord's church is a remnant. The Lord's church is a small flock or a little flock. Fear not, little flock, for it's Your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. No matter how small we are, what a great blessing it is that we can come and sit down under the sound of the preaching, and we can come together and we can enter into the kingdom of God in this life. That we can enter into the eternal blessings now in this life. We can rejoice and what we're going to be rejoicing in forever in heaven, we get a small portion of it right now. God just brings down a small portion of His kingdom right now. And we're able to come and to rejoice. It doesn't matter the number of people. It doesn't matter how small, it doesn't matter how big. Despise thou not the day of small things. You know, He said when talking about churches and things like that, I gotta step on my own toes. Over in the first chapter of Corinthians, he says, "For you see your calling, brethren," in the 26th verse, "how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." Now that calling there is not talking about a calling in the new birth. It's talking about a gospel calling. A calling in the gospel. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Now he said, for you see, your common brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. He didn't say he didn't call some wise men or some noble men. He just said not many of them. Not many. You know, oftentimes a preacher, I want to tell you what, in his mind, and if you knew the preacher's life, he'd be the last one that you'd pick to be preaching. He'd be the last person in your mind that you'd pick to be preaching, because he gets up there, he's had a sketchy life, or he gets up there and when he talks, he says ain't, and he says this and that, and he doesn't pronounce words the correct way, and I'm just stepping on my own toes. But it's not about how wise you are in this world. He said the Jews seek after a sign, and the Greeks after wisdom. They see. You know why the Jews didn't like going into that church? Because it was just too simple. It didn't have all the rituals that the Jews had. They were very legalistic. It didn't have all the rituals and all the pomp and the show and all the sacrifices and didn't have all these things. And so the worship service was too simple to the Greeks. They wanted wisdom. They wanted, a lot of times people, the Greeks weren't involved because they weren't wise men. You know, wise astrologers, like so many of the Greeks came from the Greek. They didn't speak with a proper tongue. And, you know, how does that speak of today? You know, there are a lot of people that are turned off by the Lord's church simply because there's not a whole lot going on. It's too simple. And then there's those that are turned off by the preaching because he's not getting up there and he's not speaking with words of man's wisdoms. He's not real wise. He doesn't have a DD behind his name, a doctrine of divinity. If you got a DD behind your name, Brother Ricky, it better not be a doctrine of divinity. It can be a devil disturber. You can have that one as a DD. But I want to tell you, the Lord's church is set up just the way that it ought to be set up. It's a simple church. Despise not thou not the day of small things. It's a simple worship service. We come to the Lord's house in a small band of people to preach, to pray, to sing, in whatever order that we do. And all of those glorify God. They glorify God. Despise thou not the day of small things. May we in our lives, may we be thankful for the church that we have. May we be thankful for the providential care that God has given us and not always be trying to seek to get more and more and more. Don't despise the day of small things. Have faith in God. Know that God can take a little and He can make it a lot in your life. God bless you. I appreciate the time.